Page 48, last paragraph. The triple word, therefore, is unreal and is of mind only. Apart from it, there are no objects of the five senses and of the mind. What does this mean? Since all things are, without exception, developed from the mind and produced under the condition of deluded thoughts, all differentiations are no other than the differentiation of one's mind itself. Yet, the mind cannot perceive the mind itself. The mind has no marks of its own that can be ascertained as the substantial entity as such. It should be understood that the conception of the entire world of objects can be held only on the basis of man's deluded mind of ignorance. All things, therefore, are just like the images in a mirror which are devoid of any objectivity that one can get hold of. They are of the mind only and are unreal. When the deluded mind comes into being, then various conceptions, dharma, come to be. And when the deluded mind ceases to be, then these various conceptions cease to be. Okay, in this chapter, the first line is important. The triple word, therefore, is unreal and is of mind only. This teaching, this is the point which Avasantika Sutra also mentioned. And Shiromana Sutra mentioned too. The triple word, therefore, is unreal and is of mind only. I think the last time we studied how samsaric world goes. What structure of samsara is made. So I think five names of consciousness. Do you remember? Activating mind, and also the evolving mind. The activating mind is kind of karmic mind. It breaks the equilibrium of mind by the force of ignorance. So this karmic mind, activating mind, is the first stage of mind which start to move. So that's why he said, by the force of ignorance. The second is evolving mind. Then when the mind start to move, and then it is the next subject comes up. That is evolving mind. So, evolving mind, for it emerges contingent upon the agitated mind as subject that perceives incorrectly. That is a subject, next object comes up, that is a reproducing mind. In this case, the object is not object. Materialistically, you can see But in this case, it is called mind. Object is also called mind. That's why reproducing mind. For it reproduces the entire world of objects as a bright mirror reproduces all material images. When confronted with the objects of the five senses, it reproduces them at once. It arises spontaneously at all times and exists forever, reproducing the world of objects in front of the subject. This is an object. So, mind moves, and then next subject comes up, and then you can create an object. The next, that is analytic mind, that is accepting the subject and the object, and think of them. That is analytic mind, differentiates. Analytic mind differentiate what is defiled, what is undefiled. Next is continuing mind. So continuing mind, it is united with deluded thoughts and continues uninterrupted. It retains the entire karma, good and bad, accumulated in the immeasurable lives of the past. This continuing mind stores good or bad what you have accumulated in the past constantly. Regardless of whether you like or dislike, anyway, they good or bad, right, wrong, are anyway stored. It doesn't permit any loss. So whatever you do, all are anyway stored in your mind without any loss. It is also capable of bringing the result of the pain and pleasure. Then naturally, you can receive, you can experience a pain, present, unpresent, etc. The present and future to maturity, in doing so, it makes no mistakes. It can cause one to recollect suddenly the things of the present and the past, and to have sudden and unexpected fantasies of the things to come. So the memories goes constantly completely beyond anywhere control without any loss. If you do something, memories are stored in the mind. And you can recollect suddenly something. This is also completely beyond your control. And also, you can have sudden and unexpected fantasies of the things to come. For instance, the good ideas coming up suddenly. This is not your control. Always, because whatever you do, anyway, all are stored in your consciousness. And memories and accumulated the thoughts and comments and doings, all are stored in your mind. So always it's coming up constantly. It is completely your control. It's not your control. So this is the five names of the mind. Okay. Then we can create the human world, which is unreal. Okay. So world is not the world you can see actually, but the world is unreal and also mind only. World is of mind only. Because in this teaching, I think the world is nothing but reflection. The world is nothing but the world reflected in your mirror, in your mind. And then next we project that reflection to the externally, okay, externally. And then we believe that world is real, but it is not real. Because you already have reflection in your mind, and then think of it, you judge it. So what is the world? The world, what you can see objectively, cannot be known by you. This is this teaching. You never know what you are, because you already know the image, your image. You already know the world reflected in your mind. That's it. So you never know the world objectively as they really are. No. But usually human beings are very selfish because we believe that we know the object completely. And they try to arrange, try to change, try to conquer anything by human. That is really arrogant. For human beings. But in this teaching, we don't have any chance to understand object at all. So, apart from it, there are no objects of the five senses and of the mind apart from it. However, in our everyday life, we can see the object, which seems to continue to exist, and also it is possible for us to think something, to distinguish and to understand relationship between humans. And it seems to us that we can have a relation between the humans, between the people. The human relation, good human relations, seems to continue to exist. And also through the words, we can exchange, anyway, our feelings and be kind, compassionate, and we seems to carry a good relationship between people. But why is it? Why is it that this teaching says the world is nothing but the images and mind is only, mind only? This is a big question for us, because it is that teaching is not realistic. But this answer is, simply speaking, that the content of this teaching doesn't deny or neglect the presence of object and subject. But the contents of our experience are no other than self manifestation of mind. That's it. Okay. That is the point. Because your object, five sense object,
are reflected in your mirror, and then you look at the five sense object in your reflected in your mirror. Okay, not five sense objects objectively as they are. No, before you see this one, you already see your images. So object reflected in your mind projected to the external world. You project, you know, the object reflects in your mind to the external world, which they seem to be real. Okay? But that is perverted already. So individual, that's why words can be understood by individual feeling, individual understanding, individual educations and thoughts, and so very naturally, whatever you study, God, which must be one, create many idea of gods. So finally, we fight. So if so, I think subject. No, excuse me. Object. Object, which is called reproducing mind. If reproducing mind doesn't have its own capability to see, to reflect. Okay? For instance, your eyes cannot have the capability to see a tape recorder by injury. At that time, the object, the producing mind, doesn't exist. Your eyes cannot see this, so you cannot see the object reflected in your sense organs and the eyes organs. So that's why he says, apart from it, there are no objects of five senses. Okay, that's why if apart from it, apart from the reproducing mind means objective mind means your mind. Okay, in this case, the object and subject are called, you know, mind, not materialistically. Okay, they are called mind. That's why if your eye sense organs doesn't work, no object. There is no object. So that's why he says, apart from it, there are no objects of the five senses and of the mind. That's why, you know, I think from this point, the objects as they are exist completely beyond your mind. Okay? Beyond the mind. Tape recorder, trees, house, air exist completely beyond the mind. In other words, tape recorder as it is, okay? Not tape recorder you can see. Tape recorder as it is, air as it is, whole world as it is, anyway exists beyond your mind. And let's see the human, our mind. Let's see mind. Mind is also almost common. Everyone has almost the same mind. If your mind sees this table, everyone can see the table almost in the same way, but strictly different. Okay, but anyway, the mind everyone see this table almost in the same way. So that's why everyone says this is a table. But actually, strictly speaking, there is no way to understand how do you feel, how you feel this table. When you see this table, no way to know. No way for me to know what you're feeling, what you are understanding, how you understand this one. I don't know. So individual difference. Okay? So your mind, I can see mind, I can see my mind, and I can see your mind, but your mind is still image of my mind. Your mind is myself manifestation of my mind, that's it. So I don't know how your mind, I cannot know your mind. So in your everyday life, you try to explain your mind, how I feel, how you feel, but always there is some gap between. It's pretty difficult to understand each other's exactly. Or we believe the presence of mind, not only of the human beings, but also we believe that the trees, and pebbles, rock, and ground, rivers possess mind. And dog and cats, we can believe dog and cats possess mind. But actually, we don't know. We don't know what the mind is. But we don't know exactly what kind of mind the cat has or dog has. But we can think, we can imagine the dog's mind, cat's mind through our mind. In other words, we can reproduce their mind. They reproduce the mind which seems to be their mind. But it is your mind. Okay? We can imagine. Do you understand? So you never know dog's minds and cat's minds. You never know the tree's mind. But even the cats, even the dog, even the trees, even the human mind seems to be almost the same. Because cats and dogs face the object almost in the same way as we do. So if a dog sees the table, they can see the table. But we don't know how they feel themselves from the table. No. We don't know. But we can imagine through reproducing our mind. Okay? That's why next sentence says, apart from it, there are no objects of the five senses and of the mind. What does this mean? This means, since all things are without exception developed from the mind and produced under the condition of deluded thoughts, the all differentiations are no other than the differentiations of your mind itself. So everything, you can see the world as nothing but as the self-manifestation of your mind, that's it. This is, we believe, that is real world. But it is not real world, it's unreal. Because it is your world. So, Next sentence says, yet the mind cannot perceive the mind itself. The mind has no marks of its own that can be ascertained as substantial entity as such. How can I say? The reproducing mind, how reproducing mind can be produced? That means, maybe I mentioned last time, first, there is a one mind, okay, huge one mind, and that one mind start to move. At that time, that one mind is called Arya-Vijñāna. But at the other end, even though one mind start to move and call it Arya-Vijñāna, it doesn't mean that one mind loses its own characteristic. So it's constantly keep its own nature. That is called Tathagata-gava. So one mind is just like one piece of paper with two aspects. So from this point, one mind is a cause. In order to establish the producing mind, okay, and then start to move the mind. What mind start to move by what? By many conditions. That is the ignorance. We say ignorance. Mind moves. We don't know why mind moves. Okay. So that is called, we call it ignorance. Okay? So ignorance is movement of mind. So temple intellectually, we can put the name on it. Okay? When the mind moves, it is called ignorance, because we don't know why. When the mind is put in a certain circumstances, it moves beyond your control. For instance, if I put myself right in front of a table, my mind moves beyond my control. That's why movement of a conscious mind is called ignorance. It is not sin. Okay. So it doesn't have, ignorance doesn't have its own root. No. We don't know from where it comes. So that's why mind, we don't know. In other words, we don't know how mind moves. But we can see mind moves because when your mind put in a certain situation, it moves beyond your control. That is called ignorance. And then when the mind starts to move completely, that mind is getting away from Tathagata-gava. So you become, it becomes going, it's going far away. It's going away constantly. That is called samsara. Okay? Samsara world. That's why the cause, in order to establish the reproducing mind, there are in one mind as a cause, and ignorance as a conditions elements, secondary cause. Okay. And then, as a result, you can create samsara. Okay. That is samsaric world, human world. That is one systematical producing human mind. On the other hand, in order to establish the analytic mind and also continuous mind, there are certain system there. That system is ignorance, which exists as cause. Because analytic consciousness and continuous consciousness are indication of movement of mind. Okay? So already there is an ignorance. So ignorance is cause. And then you can create reproducing mind, that is secondary cause. In other words, when I reflect this table in my mind, the moment when I see, this is automatically it goes, okay? And then my consciousness, my mind, join this situation and analyze. Okay? So in other words, my analytic mind joins the certain situation, okay? The situation which the object is reflected in my mind, okay? Do you understand? Is that clear? So that's why the ignorance is cause, and next the object must join the functioning of analytic mind. So object must be secondary cause.
You're saying reproducing mind is the secondary cause?
Mm-hmm. Secondary, reproducing mind is secondary cause. And then you can experience suffering. Present feeling, unpresent feeling, etc. This is human suffering. Okay. This is a double system of how we create samsaric world, how we experience samsaric world. Double system there. Okay. Double system means one system is one mind is cause. And then one mind starts to move, and then at that time, that is called mumyo, which is secondary cause, and then you can create samsara. That is called avijñāna. Okay? And then the other system of producing the human mind is on the ground of the mumyo. Ignorance becomes cause. Ignorance is cause because already you create, your mind moves. Okay.
So the first cause is ignorance, and the second cause is reproducing mind. So the first cause is
no. One double system of reproducing the samsara, and how we produce the samsara. How we experience samsara, that is a double, you know, very complicated situation. First, you have to create the samsaric world first, okay? And then you can experience the samsara. Do you understand? If I explain, okay? But simultaneously you do. Very quickly you do. Do you understand? So that is a double system kind. So that's why I say, first, how do you create samsara? This is on the ground of causation, teaching a system of causation, that is one mind, okay? Universal mind. And then that one mind starts to move, this is called ignorance as secondary cause. But we don't know how that one mind moves, okay? From and it's a little bit complicated, movement of the mind and also ignorance. So we don't know. But that is the same situation is called in two ways. It's called something movement of the mind and also ignorance. Okay? So both the same. Do you understand? Practically speaking, we can say mind moves. Okay? But intellectually, when you see the mind, movement of your mind, it is called ignorance in terms of its own characteristic. Okay? Because we don't know from where it comes. And then we can create samsara. Next, we can experience samsara because we already had a lot of emotional and intellectual feeling there. That's why that is called human experiences. From, anyway, samsara. How we do it. So first, ignorance, it becomes cause. And then objects become secondary cause, so-called producing mind. And then you can experience pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, neutral feeling, physically and mentally. Okay? And also suffering. God's stuff. There is a double system of how we produce the samsara and also experience samsara. So it's very complicated. But whatever we do, when we create samsara and experience samsara, obviously there is an ignorance there. Okay? So if this ignorance ceases, then we can see the object as they are. So that's why in the Buddhist scriptures always says, if you are free from ignorance, or if you awaken ignorance from the bottom of your heart and by practice of meditation, etc., then you can be free from object and subject. In other words, you can see the object as they really are. How can I say? That's why he says in this sentence, according to this sentence, the mind cannot perceive the mind itself. Okay? Mind cannot perceive the mind itself means and also, next sentence says, the mind has no marks of its own. So if you don't have ignorance, in other words, if you are free from ignorance, you can reflect your object as it is, okay, without creating distortedness. So very smoothly, very simple way you can reflect your object. Okay? So that's why you cannot see your mind. You cannot see your object. Do you understand? If you see your object reflected in the mirror, it's already perfect. Because if you see it, you already judge, and next, creating affective preferences. So, what we can do is to reflect, to see the object as simple as we can. That's why simplicity is important for us. As simple as we can. But it's pretty hard, but Anyway, we can do it. We can do it. That's why every day we have to practice. Zazen is a simple way. Anyway, Zazen is very good for us to see many things as simple as we can. But in Zazen, if you always chase after thoughts and thinking and etc., you never know. You never know how you can be free from ignorance. No. How you can see the object as simple as we can. No. Because you already in a simple situation, so-called sitting, but you don't. You don't live in a simple way. You have a good opportunity to make your life simple, reflecting object and subject in a very simple way, but we don't do it. Why you don't do it? This is aimless. Do you understand? That is really aimless. Because your mind starts to move.
Isn't even reflecting in a simple way, isn't that still ignorance?
No. It's not ignorance.
I thought any aspect of reflecting mind is ignorance.
Well, that is the difference between the Buddha and Buddha or Bodhisattva and, well, next, I think the page 49 and the last 49 and the 50, it's explained a little bit. I think there is a difference between the Buddha and ordinary people. Quite different way. Buddha, that's why Buddha received the object just like a reflecting object in the bright mirror, exactly. That's it. That's why if you imagine Buddha's life, Buddha is just like a walking hand in hand with all sentient beings in the six realms of existence. But he seems to suffer in the same way as we do. That's what we feel. Oh, yes, you walk with us. You're suffering. You look like a human being. That's what we feel intimate with him. That's what we can have opportunity to access to him. If he doesn't walk hand in hand with us, we don't know how to access to him. Do you understand? That's why he walks in the samsaric world, in the six realms of existence. But actually, he doesn't suffer. He just walks. That's it.
So does the Buddha have a reproducing mind?
Yes, reproduce, but a different way, very simple way. Because it's the fact, it comes into very smoothly. Okay?
It says on the reproducing mind that this mind exists forever.
Well, next, I think if you see microphone, well, later it comes, that the topic come up, but anyway, simply speaking, if you see microphone, okay, and realize this is a microphone, that is what would you say? In other words, this microphone reflect in my mind, and then I can see that reflection of the microphone in my mind and think of it and judge it. Okay? This is a very simple system. And then we project that reflection into the external world and then says this is a microphone, that system. Okay? But Buddha, at that time, problem is for the ordinary people create the microphone externally with, you know, attachment. Very strong attachment. But later it comes up, that topic comes up. Okay? And the B, consciousness, in the consciousness, it's come up. Okay? So, but Buddha doesn't have attachments so much. No. Simply accept. In other words, self-consciousness for Buddha, it works very simply. Okay? Very simply. But even the ordinary people have a self-consciousness, but it exists with individual attachment, very strong attachment to the self, to the object. Okay. So that is, and then you can create a completely different world.
Like, how is that different from the way that a young child would reflect objects that maybe that wasn't familiar with? Wouldn't it just register that?
Well, they can learn they reflect the object in their mind, but they express and their project the reflection of the object into the external world in a different way, very simply. For instance, natural number one, the babies always express, you know, just first, I think what was it said, the expression of a natural number one by kind of a movement of a tapping, you know, always like this. Okay. The next, the babies express sort of a movement of a circle. You know, move. It's not in the beginning, always babies move like this. But this is receiving a word, learning the number, natural number one. Very simple way. So that means even the baby's mind always contact with the object. Okay? Is that all right? But it's very simple.
Yeah.
Very simple. So that's why this sentence, book says, the mind cannot perceive the mind itself, the mind has no marks of its own. So from this point, when you are free from, in other words, when the mind cannot perceive the mind itself, in other words, if you receive the object as simple as you can at that time, well, just this. It means no separation between subject and object. Okay? That means no separation between evolving mind and reproducing mind. So, very naturally, reflect, that's it. If you reflect your object in your mind, it's simultaneously subject. So it's become one. So no gap between.
Reflect in that simple way, is that more of a participation than sort of a passive Would you say it in that way?
It looks like a participation.
That you say when you reflect the object in a simple way.
Yeah, it's an.
Yeah. It's not the ignorance.
Yeah, it's
that, not. That reflection is.
P- participation, whatever you say, participation or action, it's still our will is there. I want to try to see. Okay? But reflect your object as simple as you can doesn't mean try to reflect. So try, not try, just reflect. Okay? So maybe participation, but still participation is I want to participate. That is, well, in the movement, participation in movement still is involved in self-attachment. Very attachment, strong attachment to the self and the object. Okay? That's why I want to participate. But real participation is very simple, maybe. Okay? So that's why I say the free from ignorance means or the reflect your object in simple as you can means not try to see. Not try to see. But just reflect the microphone as it is in your mirror. That is Buddha way. That's where Buddha walking with us, but everything comes into his life always, but reflect. That's not Buddha. Not try to see, not try to do something, but everything reflect, come into his life, and then just handle. Okay?
It seems like it's very quiet and very active at the same time.
Yes, very. That's true. Very quiet.
But also very active.
Very active. That's true. That's why Buddha is. If you see Buddha, he is a very active, but in the depth, in his heart, there is a very calm way of life. That's why you cannot say what it is, but as a whole personality, you can see.
Say that it's a matter of that we put a lot of energy in believing what we see in the mirror as being the real thing, and that's where the samsara comes from, in the energy that we put into believing.
Rather than
just seeing it as a mirror.
Yeah, you cannot do it. Well, because already we have been educated in a way, so you cannot ignore. That's why we have to research how the mind is going from the beginning. Okay, how mind works in a complicated way. We have to understand that mind, and then we can go beyond this one. We can go beyond if you understand how complicated human mind is. Okay? Well, it's not necessary to stay with it. So you can go beyond. So that is a simple way. Okay? So that's why there are lots of teaching there in order to realize how complicated we are. Okay? So that means you are, but still in our life we have to practice. Even though our mind is not simple, but we try to. We must be simple. Okay? This is a zazen. We do. Regardless of whether you can handle your mind in a simple way or not, why don't you do this one every day? Simple way. Okay, this is a practice of sitting. Yeah, is that all right?
I just have a question.
Great.
When The blue reflects in that way. Are there any marks at all on the objects reflected in this way?
No mark.
Is that the same as non-seeking?
Non-seeking. And non-self, no self. So no self is not to deny subjectivity of cognition. Okay. Cognition, subjectivity of cognition exists constantly, even in the Buddha. So because Buddha said, if a Buddha see this person and that person immediately, I am seeing you. Okay? Buddha says, I. But simple way, he deal with I without involving in any way attachment so much. So no self doesn't mean to deny subjectivity of cognition, okay? Without subjectivity of cognition, we cannot exist. So meaning of no self is to deny the attachment. Anyway, attachment. Attachment is very sticky. Very sticky and strong. So next, that's why next, the consciousness, page 49, I think we explained the consciousness involved in the attachment. Okay, but anyway, let's read a list of them. It should be understood that the conception of the entire world of objects can be held only on the basis of man's deluded mind of ignorance. This is a world you can see, everyone see, okay? You cannot ignore this one. All things, therefore, are just like the images in the mirror which are devoid of any objectivity that one can get hold of. That's why nothing to hold on, strictly speaking. Okay. That is called emptiness. Even the subject, even the object, all sentient beings, anyway, doesn't have their own root from where they exist, from where they are ascertained by. We don't know. And are unreal. It is very unreal. Okay. When the deluded mind comes into beings, then various conceptions, dharma, come to be. So very natural. Deluded mind, when the deluded mind comes into being, then various conceptions, dharma, come to be. Okay? When the mind moves, then you can see many dharmas. Okay? When your mind doesn't move, you cannot see any dharma. So when your mind becomes calm, then no dharma. So no marks. Then various concepts, when the deluded mind ceases to be, then these various conceptions cease to be. Okay? That is called triple world, therefore is unreal and is of mind only. The next B, consciousness. Do you have a question so far?
When we say mind is the sixth sense, which mind do we mean? All of these minds?
Yeah, mind means the previous you know, the paragraph we can learn the five, you know, names of the mind. That mind is manas in this case, okay, which is different from consciousness, concept of consciousness here. Okay, mind, this mind is very, what would you say, very subtle functioning of consciousness, very subtle. But next idea of consciousness in the next page explains is rough functioning of consciousness.
I wonder, they said
that's what you mean?
Yeah. They say that apart from it, there are no objects of the five senses of the mind.
Oh, that is the five senses. Yes, five. Five senses means this one, you know, the activating mind. You mean that five senses? Where? Oh, where it says?
It's the second sentence in that.
Oh,
paragraph.
Yes.
We just read.
Yes, five senses. There are no object of the five senses. Yes, five senses means this one.
Are we here?
In the previous sentence. Okay.
I thought it referred to hearing, seeing, smelling, and
noise. Oh, I see. Yes, you can think in that way. Yes, five senses. Fine.
So I was wondering why they didn't say six senses. What I was wondering about.
Well, in this case, in this book, I don't think this teaching always they understand. Five senses and six senses are the one. They don't analyze. So they don't care anyway. So always dealing with as a one mind, not one mind. As a there's seven, six and six senses and eight senses, okay? Which the Yogacara mentions, okay? Doesn't appear here. So they deal those mind as a one. Okay? Is that all right? Because if you start to analyze, you are very complicated, you are confused. Because this book doesn't analyze so much. Always dealing with mind as a one. Okay.
Well, so I was mostly trying to lead up to, but now I am confused. Is where it says the mind cannot perceive the mind itself.
Mm-hmm.
But if mind is a sense, well, it seems that mind can perceive the mind itself, because the mind perceives thinking. It seems to be apart from five senses. If you took away all the five senses, wouldn't there be something left? Or does our whole thought process depend on five senses?
Well, I think in this case, I think we see a subject and object, all things in terms of a psychological point of view. Okay? Mind. So that's why object is not materialistical object. Even the object we say, you know, reproducing mind anyway. So object is a mind means already object existing in our mind. So this is a mind. So that means subjective mind see the objective mind, anyway, in other words. So that's why the subjective mind can see objective mind in our mind. Do you understand? That's why mind cannot perceive. Subjective mind cannot perceive objective mind at that time, simple, just reflections. That's it. At that time, no marks of object because just reflect. At that time, subjective mind cannot perceive objective mind. If subjective mind perceives the object immediately, it works. Okay? And then next, it works with attachment, so-called consciousness. But Buddha is dealing with this system of process in a different way, because just reflect, constantly just reflect. That's why mind cannot perceive the mind. Then no marks. It's okay.
So you're saying that if the mind perceives, the mind perceives from the point of view of one mind, then there isn't subject and object to discriminate.
No, one mind just means I use the one mind as a big mind, okay? On the other end, I said the one mind means, this awakening of faith doesn't analyze in detail the human consciousness so much, just like a Yogacara Buddhism, okay? In the Yogacara, the human consciousness is analyzed in details, okay? Eight consciousnesses. But here, it doesn't. So that is, I say, they deal with the mind as a one. Okay? But that one, the concept of one mind, is different from concept of one mind as a big mind. Okay? I mentioned before. All right. Because if you analyze the consciousness in several ways, I think each consciousness possesses its own substantiality. In other words, its own characteristic. Otherwise, you cannot explain. But here, whatever kind of mind you can see, all are one substantiality. That's what I mean. Okay, any other questions?
Just the term three worlds refers to
three?
You say in the three worlds or the triple world.
Mm-hmm.
You say in that phrase meaning
triple world?
Triple world means half of
Triple word has two meanings. One is a past, present, future. Okay?
Yeah.
The other one is, the other meaning is, in Sanskrit, how can I say, the word of desire.
Definition. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Word of desire, word of form, word of the formless world. Okay? That is the word of desire is that which it is occupied by two desires, two kind of desires, appetite and sexual desires. This is a word. The word of form is bodily existence. in bodily existence. But in this case, I say in this world, I think you can enjoy bodily existence by entering into samadhi. This is a world of form. Okay. And then the world of the formless world is your enjoyment, the body existence, pretty deep. By entering the samadhi, and then the form of bodily existence is dissolved in the realm of samadhi. That is formless world. Okay?
So that would be like the third realm.
Third realm, yes. So in other words, third realm is just the spiritual world. Just spiritual world. Even though you have a body, the body, form of body is dissolved in the spiritual world. That is, and also we temporarily, we believe that such a world is, such a world exists externally. We set up these ideas. But actually it's not, external world, but an internal world, but simultaneously you can project this internal world into external world. That's why we temporarily we set up this idea of the world which seems to exist externally. Alright? That is the idea of triple world. In order to explain the human world, so we say triple world. But next time we will study consciousness.